Good morning, Tucson. It is Wednesday, right before Thanksgiving, but it's China Watch Wednesday, and we're super excited. We have so much stuff to tell you today, but I do have to say, yesterday I was out and about, and I met someone, and they listened to the show, didn't realize it, and they shared with me about a book, The 100-Year Marathon, China's Secret Strategy to Replace America as the Global Superpower. That'd make a great charade. It's long. but it was by Michael Pillsbury. And I, I love it when the listeners are listening and they contribute, because this contributes to the show. And so I asked Nicole, do you know about this book? And so Nicole Tsai from the New Federal State of China, of course, here to join us on this Wednesday. Happy early Thanksgiving, Nicole, and welcome to Win Tucson.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me, and happy to be on your Channel Watch the day before Thanksgiving. So I am so impressed by your intelligent listeners and viewers. I mean, this book by Michael Pillsbury is one of the best written China policy book, telling American people about the threat posed by the Chinese Communist Party. So I want to talk about the name of the book, The 100-Year Marathon. 100-year started with the 1949. That's the year when the CCP took over of a Democratic Republic of China.
Yes.
And then so from day one, the CCP planned to take over America. So that 100-year, they're going to continue to do so by 2049. So that's 100-year. And sorry about my voice. I caught a cold on the trip back from San Francisco, but I'm doing okay. So this book really tells American people that China is not our friend because it's controlled by the Communist Party. And he also went on to explain why the U.S. policies have actually allowed the CCP to achieve its 100-year marathon goal, which is that the U.S. investment technology has enabled the CCP's rise to the power.
Well, and the author of this book is Michael Pillsbury, who is a senior fellow and director for Chinese strategy. He's distinguished defense policy advisor, former high-ranking government official, and he is very well thought of. So that this book really is, if you want to see why we're experiencing what we're experiencing, this is a playbook, if you will, and they seem to be doing this plan, and it's really a thoughtful book, and I was grateful that my listener let me know that this is out there. So, Nicole, there's so much going on. Where do you want to start today?
Well, I want to start with my trip from
San Francisco.
So, remember last Wednesday I told you that Gavin Newsom and the city of San Francisco and Sacramento government cleaned up the street. And so I didn't see any homeless tent. But the day after Xi Jinping left the city, I saw the homeless people are back again. I see the needles. I see the drug addicts, and which is very sad. I mean, it's almost like it's disturbing to see that the city government in Sacramento can actually clean up the street for CCP dictator, but they wouldn't do this
for their own people.
The America, exactly.
Well, and one of the things, you guys were there in force. There was over 400 of you, not just from New York where you came from, but from all over the world. And this dictator did not allow, he told California not to cover the fact that you were protesting his visit, correct?
Yes, that's exactly what we heard from our China sources. Prior to Xi Jinping's visit, he sent a bunch of the CCP officials and called on the mainstream media, the U.S. mainstream media, and told them Xi Jinping does not like to see and the word of NFSC, the New Federal State of China, no photo, no text, no coverage. If ever he sees the presence of the New Federal State of China, he will immediately leave San Francisco. So apparently, all the mainstream media who covered the event complied fully to Xi Jinping's demand. Because given the fact that we are the most prominent and biggest anti-CCP group, we did not get a single coverage by Reuters, by MSNBC, by all the U.S. mainstream media. And that's another fact to tell your audiences
yes.
how effective Xi Jinping is at of managing the local government.
Well, we didn't get the memo not to cover you, so we told everyone that you were there, and we told everyone why you were there. So Wynn Tucson is doing their part. I just want you to know that we're going to fight back against the machine. I think it's unfortunate, though. This goes to the bigger thing of censorship and freedom of speech, and it is so valuable. This is another way where they're trying to direct the narrative, where they're trying to put on a show, mm-hmm. remove the homeless people, remove the drug addicts, push mm-hmm. them out of the way, make this big entrance, this huge, entourage for Xi Jinping. California rolls out the red carpet, mm-hmm. But we're gonna. It was staged. It was an LA production, even though it was in San Francisco. This was Hollywood at its finest. But it's not what's really happening, and we have to be smarter than what we're seeing or what we're hearing because it's so selective, mm-hmm. and that's why we have people listen to this show, because we're telling the truth, not what they're telling you, and it's different, and we have to understand that. Nicole, what about, is there anything else about that? I mean, because clearly, were the people that were there, where were they from? Tell us a little bit about what you were hoping to accomplish.
Yeah, absolutely. So this time we had more than 400 people coming from more than 20 countries. And some are flying from Japan, from Sweden, from France, all over the world. And all over the country, we got people from New York, New Jersey, Texas, Chicago, all over the places. And our message is very clear that Xi Jinping does not represent the Chinese people. He's not a duly elected president of China, because there's no political speech, no freedom of thought, no freedom of press in China. So he's a dictator. And so I want to mention about the democratic one city government do understand the importance of border and barricades, because they set up miles long heavy metal barricades to block us from Xi Jinping's hotel and the conference site. But they won't do the barricades or the border to secure our own southern border.
Well, and we know that better than anybody here. Nicole, we got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the CCP and their influence over other media, Jon Stewart and some other things. So no shortage of information. Again, we've been doing this show since March. We've never repeated a topic. Always something new that the CCP is trying to do. I guess if you have a 100-year plan, you've got lots of things you can do. I'm Kathleen Wynn. This is Wynn Tucson on 1030 The Voice with Nicole Tsai from the New Federal State of China. Stay with us. We'll be back on 1030 The Voice right after this. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson, where it's time to solve problems by speaking up and bringing solutions to everyday issues. And today, our issue is the CCP and China Watch. And we have Nicole Tsai, always our very special guest. So, Nicole, Representative Gallagher from Wisconsin, Mike Gallagher, he's a hero for me. He just is relentless. And there's the story came out that U.S. lawmakers want Apple to explain its problem with Jon Stewart's Apple TV Plus show and whether China was involved. And apparently, Jon Stewart's very funny. I don't always agree with him, but his comedy is intelligent. And apparently he was poking fun at China. And so Apple relies on China for a chunk of its manufacturing capacity. And so what happened here? Do we know?
This is very disturbing because Apple TV discontinued Jon Stewart's show on the entire Apple TV apps, which means even the American audiences on the U.S. soil cannot access Jon Stewart's show. This isn't about targeting the Chinese viewers or the Apple users inside China. This is very disturbing. And this is how the CCP has successfully infiltrated in America on the U.S. soil, because Apple has been heavily reliant on the CCP for their production. I mean, imagine half of Apple's iPhone production are inside the Chinese sweatshops and concentration camps. And then China also accounts for more than 20% of the total iPhone sales. So if we're being heavily dependent economically on China, eventually China would take over our freedom of speech.
Well, it seems like in this situation they already have. A bipartisan group, so both Democrats and Republicans, want answers from Apple CEO Tim Cook over whether John Stewart's opinions about China played a role in the tech giant's decision to pull the plug on a podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, so yeah. we got rid of Tucker, John Stewart, and John Stewart's not a conservative Republican. He's not. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we can find commonality and that this is bipartisan, maybe America's waking up that we have to work together against our common enemies, no matter what our politics are. I think it's a bad thing for John Stewart. I think it's a good thing for us that we are seeing they are trying to suppress our speech. China's trying to put on a show to say, oh, we're this, we're this. But this is evil. I mean, they do not want us to have freedom of thought, freedom of speech. And to your point, slave labor is being used to make Apple products. Why is that okay? And why is our country allowing that?
Well, Kathleen, remember, Tim Cook only pays the Chinese sweatshop workers $3 per hour.
Right.
And so that's why he didn't want to shift the Apple production manufacturing back to the U.S. because the American workers are protected by the labor rights, by human rights. But in China, it's a wild west. You can do anything to treat poorly the Chinese slave labor without any accountability. So this is the reason why that it's immoral and it's very evil for corporate America to shift the U.S. manufacturing good jobs back to China, because they're not just hurting the American people, the American blue-collar working-class people, but they're sponsoring and funding a genocidal regime.
Absolutely. And if we don't start to uncover the atrocities and the human rights violations that are occurring around the world, then we're helping facilitate it. And Apple is helping facilitate it. The lawmakers want Apple to offer a briefing by December 15th, and it'll also reach out to Stewart's representatives to get their side of the story. I would love, John Stewart has testified. He testified on behalf of the firefighters from 9/11, and he stood up when he felt that people didn't have a voice. I think it's ironic right now that they're trying to suppress his. I think, you know, Tim Cook has visited China despite iPhone ban. Apple MacBook manufacturing could leave China. I think they say those things so people think, oh, they are leaving China. Languaging is very important, but they haven't yet. So right now, Apple products, and a lot of people have them, and we get attached to our digital devices, are being produced by slave labor. You know, if we don't like Bud Light, this might be another company that we say not on our watch until you right this wrong. And whether you like John Stewart or not, that's not the point. The point is that when they suppress speech and they control the narrative, we're not getting the truth. And everyone is suspicious about what they're hearing right now, especially from the CCP. And back to where we started on this half hour, they tried to suppress the new federal state of China in San Francisco.
Absolutely. And remember, Tim Cook is among the American corporate executives who paid $40,000.
Exactly.
To have a sit-down dinner with Xi Jinping. And at the same time, his corporate profits were based on sweat labor. And so, and this is why that we need China Watch. We need people like you who are running for the office, because right now, I don't think that Congress is doing enough. Of course, I applaud Mike Gallagher and the House Select Committee on China. But you know what? More needs to be done. And we need tougher people who can stand up for the American value and who can stand up to the CCP.
Well, and beyond that, Nicole, we need to wake up America. America needs to understand that these are lands that we concede. We conceded education for a long time. How's that working out for us? Now we've got diversity, equity, inclusion. That they want to put in the military, right? It's gotten to the point, and I say diversity, inclusion, and equity, which says die. They're trying to kill off every institution that we have in our country. And if you concede this land, if you concede this point and say, okay, you can do this, you can get away with this, you can't get that land back without 10 times the effort to get it back. And to $40,000, think about this. These executives, and how I don't remember how many there were, paid $40,000 to sit at the table of Xi Jinping, where all these human atrocities are happening in China. When did that become okay in America? That American businessmen would kiss the ring of this person who is sending fentanyl into our country, who is trafficking human beings, who's working with the cartels. When did we become those business leaders that said, oh, it's okay because I'm profiting from this? That's not the America that I grew up in. And we would call people out for those those business policies are not in the best interest of our country. And they're causing our country to erode, and we're selling our soul. And we're selling our soul for greed and for profit. And I'm sorry, I am a mom and a grandma, but this is not okay. And this is not the values I want to teach this next generation. And I think that if we don't speak out now, it just gets worse. And I hope that the bipartisan committee, when they meet with Apple, I hope that they have a strong, I hope it's not, again, more political theater and just an exercise. I'd love your feedback. We've got a couple of minutes before we go to break.
Well, I fully agree with you. This isn't about John Stewart. It could be a Democratic person. It could be anybody. If your speech or narrative does not conform to the CCP's propaganda, you will be censored right here on the U.S. soil. So I want to add a few names that the American CEOs who sit down with Xi Jinping,
yes, please,
and pay $40,000. The CEO of Blackstone, Stephen Schwartz, and CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink, and CEO of Boeing,
CEO
of MasterCard, Amway, Honeywell, and a bunch of these people. I mean, I think these people need to be watched, because they're actually selling out this country's soul, and they're sponsoring a genocidal regime.
Well, in American business, it's okay to produce a product, but if we can bring back American manufacturing and we can do it the right way, we can be profitable, we can create American jobs, we can become independent, and I think we are better at that. We have given everything away, including our energy independence, our freedoms, our freedom of speech, all of it. And the more that we give away, the harder it is to take it back. So when we come back, we've got more to talk about. We've got Taiwan. We've got Argentina. The CCP is very busy when you have a marathon to take over. And what are we talking, 2049? That's not very far away. So we are talking to Nicole Tsai from the new federal state of China. I'm Kathleen Nguyen. This is Nguyen Tucson on 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. China Watch Wednesday. You won't hear this anywhere else. Stay with us. We'll be back right after these words from our sponsors. Welcome back to Nguyen Tucson, where we focus on issues, not politics. And with the CCP, we appear to have nothing but issues. Nicole, before we jump into what I said before the break, there was breaking news last night that Chairman Representative Gallagher and Jim Acosta, unveiled their bipartisan report on the illegal biolab in Reedley, California. And it was run by a wanted PRC national with previous ties to the CCP. So, it's amazing to me that this was allowed and that the FBI wouldn't investigate, the CDC wouldn't. And when people called from the area, elected officials from this area where this lab was, they were hung up on by federal officials. So how damning is this report that has just come out?
No doubt about it. It's so disturbing. I mean, we know it has to be the CCP's agent. And remember, our own NIH, the National Institute of Health, funded the Wuhan bioweapon lab in Wuhan. And now the CCP is moving the virus lab to California. And they've been doing this for years. And thank God that a local California resident discovered it and reported to the local officials. But unfortunately, like you just mentioned, FBI and CDC refused to investigate. And that's why it took like 9 months for this report to come out, thanks to the local congressmen pressing the CDC to do something about it. I think that says a lot about why the CCP has been enjoining the unrestricted access and unrestricted freedom to do anything they want to do on the U.S. soil, because our government and our oversight is very weak.
Well, and apparently there are zero federal regulations with the force of law for possession, handling, or transfer of most viruses, including even the pandemic pathogens, which caused COVID, and potential pandemic pathogens such as SARS, MERS, again, the coronavirus, and monkeypox. So we have nothing that really, quite frankly, there's no legal teeth. It's hard to believe that you can have a bioweapon, which this was and is, and there's no federal laws. I'm sure there's state laws, but there's no federal laws to go after them. So, and I think it's good that, you know, this is bioterrorism. We should be clear that we need to stop. This is not a one-off. This is the influence of China in this country, and we cannot ignore it, and we are. And the fact that it takes so long, and that our FBI and our CDC, who have, I think, been weaponized against us, do nothing and ignore the request of elected officials in this area. They should be held accountable too. They're co-conspiring mm-hmm. with the CCP to harm us.
Well, I think the law enforcement at the federal level, they're very quick at targeting the Christians, the Catholics, parents, and labeling them as terrorists while ignoring the CCP's bioterrorism at the same time. This is truly disturbing.
Yes,
and my biggest fear, Kathleen, is that this might be one of the many bioweapon labs that CCP yeah. has already set up in America. There
Amen.
Could be another one in Los Angeles, in Tucson, in Phoenix, in New York.
Correct.
It's just like, we just don't know.
We don't know. And this is the whole point. So someone was paying attention and saw this. But at the end of the day, this could be anywhere. This absolutely could be anywhere. And especially when, in my state, wide open border, 14,000 plus illegal immigrants came into the Tucson sector, just the Tucson sector. That's not even the whole state. This last week. So, do we have time to go find a bioweapons lab? Probably not. Does one exist? I don't know. It'd be worth putting a bet on. We don't have enough law enforcement, and we don't have the laws, and then we don't have prosecutors willing to prosecute. Our systems and our institutions are broken down, and the CCP is exploiting it and taking advantage of it and hurting us. And it is time that, we wake up to this. I wanted to cover this because we had talked about this before, but this is a new, I think it's great that this report got released. We talked about this months ago, and the fact that the Congress is now catching up, maybe they've been listening. So I'm excited that this report's going to come out. So let's shift to, I'm going to do one more thing before we get to the other things. So illegal Chinese pot grows are taking over rural blue state, and law enforcement isn't stopping them. It's in the same category. So there are Chinese nationals have sprung up all across the state of Maine and some other states. And what they're doing is they're growing, they have illegal marijuana grow operations. And the value is estimated at $4.37 billion with a B in revenue, which also then they use that for more criminal activities. So if it's an activity and the CCP is doing it, it's definitely criminal, it appears. What are we, who's taking care of that? Who's working on that?
Well, definitely we need to hold the Department of Homeland Security accountable for that. Because remember, these people, many of them are not crossing the border legally. They might be one of those people who crossed the southern border, the open border.
Yes.
And unlike many of the illegal immigrants from other countries, these people do not go to the strait or just, you know, they are going to set up the illegal marijuana, you know, operation. And again, in the Daily Caller report, that the local Maine, you know, residents have reported to the local officials, but they don't think the local government is doing enough to stop them, because we know Maine it has legalized the grow of marijuana. So it's legal to do that, and that's why it attracts the CCP agents to set up those illegal, you know, operations. And who knows, what are they going to do with these marijuana to kill more Americans? And that, again, it's bioterrorism.
It is bioterrorism. And the marijuana from illegal grow houses is also smuggled across Interstate 95, which provides a route all the way down to Florida. So this is an East Coast operation. But, you know, like I know with human trafficking networks that go all over the country, they move it. This is just another criminal enterprise operating in our country. We're not holding anybody accountable for crimes. We have allowed this lawlessness. This violates the Constitution. This is terrorism, and no one is calling it out. The illicit operations run by Chinese nationals are likely done with the help of Mexican cartels, in this article, who help with money laundering efforts used to obtain the properties. So they're they're buying property in our country. They're conducting illegal activities. They're killing our kids. They're poisoning our citizens. They've got bioweapon labs. You know, I don't know how many things they have to do before there's a collective outcry, get out of our country, and then prosecute people so there's a consequence, as opposed to just shutting this down and then they move along and go someplace else. Let's take decisive action and hold people accountable. If their efforts are killing people, and I would think bioterrorism, let's just look at the number of people that died from COVID. How many thousands of people have died? So who's accountable for those deaths? We know now this wasn't some arbitrary virus. We know that this was manufactured and made for the sole purpose of killing Americans. What do we do now to hold them accountable? You know, and who's going to be that? Who's going to stand up and say, not on my watch? It's time that we get angry and that we get productive and we do something that absolutely makes a difference for those who lost people, and shut this down. Every day that these things are allowed to exist, people are getting harmed.
Well, this is the reason why we need China Watch again. I'm going to say that again and again, because we have to rely on we the people in our community, the people in our state, to rise up and say something, to express our frustration and hold the local government officials accountable. And so I'm happy to report that 6 of the Michigan's local government officials were let go after the massive local residents protested their decision to allow a CCP battery factory to be established in Michigan. I mean, that works because if we, the people, speak up, we will see positive changes and we will create positive changes. So we need to continue raising these issues.
I think it's great. And when we come back, we promise we are going to talk about Taiwan and Argentina. So we have to go to a break. We're talking to Nicole Tsai from the new federal state of China. This is China Watch Wednesday. We're covering a lot of ground today, but it's important that you will have something to talk about at the Thanksgiving table. If things don't go well, you can bring this up, right? So I'm Kathleen Nguyen. This is Nguyen Tucson on 1030 The Voice. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We are going to finish this up strong. So Nicole Tsai from the new federal state of China. Recently, a growing number of U.S. officials and analysts have stated that the Chinese Communist Party, our good friends at the CCP, under the leadership of General Secretary Xi Jinping, is speeding up preparations to annex or invade Taiwan, or both. What the CCP describes as a, I'm going to put this in air quotes, reunification. Does Taiwan want to reunify with the CCP, Nicole?
Great question. In Taiwan, I think many freedom-loving people would refuse to be reunited by the CCP through force. But the CCP has bought out some sellout within Taiwan, and the CCP wants to elect the pro-Beijing candidates for their presidential election.
And when is that? When is that election?
Next year. And so that's why in the San Francisco meeting between Biden and Xi, the U.S. has raised a concern and warned the CCP not to meddle with the Taiwan election next year.
How ironic. How ironic. Sorry. It was just there to say. I apologize. Yeah, okay. Oh, don't do what we do. It's like your parents. Don't do what I say, not what I do. Okay, go ahead.
So currently, the CCP is not happy with the current Taiwanese president, Tsai Ing-wen, and because she's definitely anti-CCP, pro-US. And so her party has another great candidate who's actually, leading the poll. And that's why Beijing is very fearful that if there could be another presidential candidate, his name is Lai Ching-te, he might win again. And that means that Taiwan will become even tougher against Beijing. So that's why the CCP is sending their messages that this could speed up Beijing's plan to peacefully reunify with Taiwan.
Well, and the CCP has never really ruled over Taiwan. Since the end of the Civil War, Taiwan has enjoyed de facto independence since the decades-long period of martial law ended. And I think it's important that they, you wonder if they're going to use Dominion machines in this election. It's just, it's so insane. And I think that we have to watch it. We have to demand that there's a fair election there. Can't figure ours out, so we might as well go to some other country and try to help them. You can't make the irony up. It's just so insane. But the CCP gets to rule their country and gets to do what they're doing. And they're in the human slavery, the atrocities, and the actions of the CCP speak so much louder than whatever they say, whatever theatrical shows they're putting on. Their actions are screaming at us, and we have to be smarter than that. Argentina. So we have a new leader in Argentina, and the CCP's not happy about that either. They're just very frustrated people. these days. Do you want to talk about that new leader and what does that mean for the world climate?
Well, Javi Milei is definitely a nightmare for CCP.
Well, it's Thanksgiving. We have to say where we're thankful. I think we're thankful for that, right?
Yeah, because he's just like a Latin American version of Donald J. Trump.
Yes.
And that's why he is a thorn to the Beijing. And he has, you know, said something really upset Beijing. For example, he called the CCP an assassin. And he said the people in China were not afraid. And he said his new administration will cut the ties from Beijing, and Argentina will not accept Beijing's invitation to join the BRICS, which is, you know, led by CCP, to become a counter, operation to like a counter the America's influence in the global South. So, but you know what? Beijing said, oh, we still want to keep a good relationship given such strong rhetoric said by Javier Milei.
Yes.
So I think this is definitely very good news. So on Thanksgiving, I think this is the best gift that we have ever expected to receive from Latin America.
Well, and this gives me hope. Javier was first introduced to the Argentine public as a combative television personality with an unruly hairdo, kind of like Argentine's version of Tucker Carlson, right? You know, it's just you almost can't make this up. And when he was elected on Sunday as Argentina's next president, he's now tasked with guiding one Latin America's largest economies out of one of the worst economic crises, and whoever becomes the president of the United States, and I pray that it's not Joe Biden again, will have to do the same. So I think that they have an opportunity to fix so much of what is broken in Argentina. And Argentina used to have a thriving economy. They used to be just a wonderful, and the changes that the country needs are drastic. And it's going to be, they can't do it gradually because it's so far gone. So this country, Argentina, is on life support. And this man is going to have to deal with all the failed economic policies, overspending. It's amazing. I'm going to trade measures, suffocating international debt, the printing of more money to pay for it. Does any of this sound familiar? You know, and they in their country, they sent 46 million people into an economic tailspin. We have done the same thing here. We have inflation. We've done everything. I want to see what this man does. And if conservative policies work in Argentina, I think we should take a lesson from our southern friends. And their annual inflation rate has surpassed 140%, the world's third highest rate. So what's happening is people are converting their money to the U.S. dollars or cryptocurrencies. That's the effect of the same kind of economic policies that we're doing in our country. And Argentina is just the same situation on steroids. So, and what does the CCP think of this man? They're not really happy, right?
They are fearful of this man, just like how fearful they were to President Trump. I mean, you know, remember, the MAGA movement is actually a great source of inspiration to people in Argentina. And that's why Javier's supporter wear their MAGA hat, which is Make Argentina Great Again. And they love President Trump. So don't underestimate our own movement led by the patriotic American people. So this country is still the leading light of hope for the entire world. Just look at what happened to Argentina. It's based on inspiration of President Trump and the MAGA movement and all of your great listeners.
Well, and I saw a video of a young man, it looked like a young teenage boy, who made his way, ooh. yeah, I, I didn't know it was going to hit me. Like, he made his way through the crowd and he got up to where the new president was. And the president let him, you know, he told his security to stand down. And this young man crawled over the barrier and he hugged the new president. And he was sobbing. He was sobbing. And the president took out a Sharpie or something and signed his T-shirt and he hugged him again. And he, as a young person, understood the significance and the importance of changing the direction of his country. Yeah. And I thought, God bless Argentina, right? So that this young person understood the significance of having this man as their president, because it's his future. It's that age level, the teenagers of the world, that we have to fight for. And I only have one granddaughter that's a teenager. All the other ones are younger than that. But I'm going to tell you, it was worth seeing that one moment, because it told me everything. The youth of this country understood the importance of electing a conservative person who is fiscally conservative, who is now going to try to take this country, their country, back from all this inflation and just poverty and everything that has happened to Argentina. So, Nicole, we've come to the end of our time. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. Thank you for standing up, for being a voice for the new federal state of China, for traveling to San Francisco. We knew you were there, and we will continue to spread that word. And we'll have you back next week, as we always do, and have a safe and wonderful holiday and get your voice better, okay?
Thank you so much, and happy Thanksgiving to you, your wonderful family, and all of your listeners. I love you guys. Thank you.
We love you back. Okay, everybody, go out, be safe, fight with your least favorite sister or brother. It's okay. It's Thanksgiving. But make up. This is a season of being thankful for what we have. And God bless us all. Have a great weekend. Be back on Monday, but listen to my best ofs tomorrow and Friday.